Welcome to another presentation from the House of David Fellowship in Richmond, Virginia. I'm Lee Miller. Today, we're going to continue with our series that we started back in January concerning time, day, and things of that nature. Today, we're going to conclude with the third part, which is entitled, Passover, When Art Thou? Let's go ahead and take a look at a short review of the things we've already covered. These are the conclusions that we reached in the other two parts. So if there's a question about that, we can take that up at another time, but I'm using that as a foundation. Yom frequently includes the dark portion of the 24-hour planet rotation. I can't tell you how shocked I was when I found this out. I was shocked. It was not what I expected. With all of the chatter out there, I was just like, wow. A new calendar date starts at the beginning of dark. We finished that in the second part. We went through all of the pieces that made that fit. That did not surprise me. The third thing that we covered in part two was between the settings is after high noon, but before the sun has fully set. And the reason I use settings, the Hebrew is a rev. You're going to see it shortly. But we went through all of the examples in Scripture of this taking place, and that's how we were able to draw that conclusion. So, you know, that had been lingering. One of my friends here in Virginia, he and I had a different perspective on that subject, and I was glad to finally get it done and out of the way. All right, let's talk about Enoch and Hague. That is not a law firm. Enoch is a writing that was available in the first century, and Tim Hague is an excellent scholar who looks into these things. And I'm going to discuss these two subjects as an intro to what we're going to be looking at today. The first one is, First Enoch has a calendar. So does the Book of Jubilees. In this particular case, this calendar has 30-day months, two of them, and then one 31-day month. Of course, this does not really fit because the rotation comes out to 29.535. So you can never get to 31. But their calendar had some other things that were interesting, so I just wanted to let you know that I have looked and examined that calendar. Now, Tim Hague is an excellent scholar. Do not think I compare myself with him. I do not. He has a paper entitled The Chronology of the Crucifixion, A Comparison of the Gospel Accounts. You can find that on his website, which I believe is TorahResource.com. I think that's the name of it, where he goes through 34 pages to present a conclusion that's going to differ with what I found. So, you know, I respect Tim Hague. I've communicated with him. I respect Dr. Skip Moen, and when I disagree with something Skip says, I call him on it. This is what I do. So I'm not here to say negative things about Tim Hague. I just want you to know that he has looked into this in great detail and has come up with a different answer from what I'm going to show you today. All right? Here is a couple of quotes just so you can see what he says. Through the centuries, scholars have offered a wide variety of explanations for the apparent contradictions contained in the gospel accounts, but there remains no consensus. I feel that he lumps himself in with that. He's looked at it and has some questions still in his mind. Another quote, given these data, it seems clear that Yeshua was taken from the garden by the handlers of the scribes and high priests before the sun had arisen on the 15th of Nisan. Okay, I do not take that position, but this is what he's saying. He continues on in his paper by saying, it was in the early morning hours of this festival Shabbat that he was brought to Caiaphas and when Peter denied him. And he ends the quote by saying, as we shall see, the narratives of the synoptics make it clear that Yeshua was crucified on the same day, the 15th day of the first month. This is from page 14 of his research work that he has published. I disagree. Okay, so we have set the stage. Here's the plan. We are going to start near the end of this time period. We're going to move forward just a little bit. Then we're going to move backwards. Yeah, you know I got to do it different from anybody else would do it. Allowing each gospel account, and follow this, allow each gospel account to establish where it is on the timeline compared to the other three. I don't want to be prejudiced. I want every gospel to speak for itself and account for its position. Each gospel will be responsible to designate the day-night time period of the week, and I will demonstrate that. First, before we get into it, I want to give you the code. This is the encoder ring that I have not passed out, but I'm going to give it to you now, so that as you go through this, you're going to be able to say, what is that? Oh, I know what that is. All right. In Matthew 27, verse 1, he says, when the morning was come, and you'll see, obviously, I got that highlighted, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Yeshua to put him to death. Mark 15, 1a, and straightway in the morning, chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. Luke 22:66, and as soon as it was day, and I've added light because I think he was talking about day in that figure of speech in which it was morning, just my thought. The elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council. And then finally, John 18:28, then led they Yeshua from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, which was the Roman governor's residence, and it was early. All right, we're taking a look at those four verses so that I can explain the code. Review, when the morning was come, if you look at the alphabet, started A, B, C, D, if you change that to numbers, you'd have 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, so Matthew is the first, so he gets A. Mark is second, he gets B. Luke is third, he gets C. And John is fourth, and he gets D. So if I put A 27:1, that's Matthew 27:1. And if I put B 15:1, that's Mark 15:1. All right, I'm doing this to save space, and because we can't use numbers, that's why I'm doing it. And I can't use M because Mark and Matthew start with M. So here's what the code looks like when you put them all together. A 27:1, B 15:1A, C 22:66, D 18:28. That's the code for the text we just read. Yeah, this you might not get this on the first round, I understand. But I had to come up with something simple. All right, so what does this look like if we use a visual aid? Here we have a picture of a light period and a day period. I'm sorry, a light period and a night period. Now, since we've already established that at the end of light, when it becomes dark, the new 24-hour rotation begins. So with that established, you can see that I have a little bit of information here. So let's see what this looks like as we go through the visual aid. What is the first thing that takes place on this chart? Sunrise. What does that mean the sun is doing? The sun is rising. What does my text say? A 27:1, B 15:1A, C 22:66, D 18:28. Morning has arrived. Because that's the text we just read. Back we go. When morning was come, straightway in the morning, as soon as it was day, and it was early, equals morning has arrived. So as you read my comments, I am drawing them out of the scriptures and kind of like summing them up. Because, you know, even with visual aids, you only have so much space on a screen. So let's go to another example. This is the next item that will be displayed on the visual aid. Matthew 27 and 2. What does he say? And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Notice the highlightings. Mark says, and bound Yeshua and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. That's the B part. That's why I had A and B. Luke says, this is the next verse, the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. John says, they led Yeshua from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. Pilate then went out. All right, what is the connecting pieces here? Delivered to Pontius Pilate, delivered to Pilate, led unto Pilate, led unto Pilate. The code looks like that. Let's look at it on the visual aid. Sunrise means the sun is rising. Morning has arrived. What is my conclusion from those four verses? They delivered him to Pilate. See how simple this is? All right. I will not be given any more examples. Let's just go through this now. Number three, you'll notice I have numbers 1, 2, and 3 that are in the graphic to show you the position of this during the light period of whatever day we're discussing. All four Gospels say Pilate acknowledges the custom and states, whom shall I release? Number four, all four Gospels state Yeshua was led to Golgotha. Number five, at that point, narration states, they parted my garments, which of course, as you know, is a quote from Psalm 22. Six, all four Gospels, King of the Jews sign comes into existence. Seven, two thieves are mentioned. Now, notice that noon has just occurred. We've gone 1 through 7. Now we're at noon. This is high noon. What happens to the sun once it reaches the top part of the sky? It begins to set. And where is it going? All the way down to sunset. That's all we're showing here. What is that called? Between the settings. Ben Ha'abarim in Hebrew. We looked at this in part 2. Let's continue. Number 8, the 6th hour to 9th hour, there was darkness. John does not mention this. You see the 8 is blocking out the sun in the graphic there. That's why it's dark for those 3 hours. It's also interesting to note, if you remember, we discussed general versus absolute principles in Genesis 1, 14 through 18, where it said that the sun would be ruling the day, the light portion. But yet we found out in a certain square mileage area of Egypt in Exodus, for 3 light periods, the sun was not ruling the day. Darkness ruled the day. Well, here's another example of darkness ruling the day and the sun not ruling the day. Same Hebrew, Greek words there. Okay, number 9, Yeshua gives up the spirit. All four Gospels note that. And then in number 10, which is the end of this visual aid slide, when evening had come, Joseph of Arimathea, ... All right, so, as you can see, during whatever day this is, this light period, all four Gospels agree on all points that are listed there. All right, here's the summary, 1 through 10. Now, let's move forward. This time, instead of using the code, I'm breaking them out independently. The next verse, we ended at 27:57 of Matthew, where it said Joseph of Arimathea came, and etc. Now, the next day that followed the preparation day. All right, so look at what I've got in the light period, preparation day, ... This is our first witness to what that time period was. Mark 15:42a. Now when evening was come, present tense for Mark, because it was the preparation day, so this is our second witness to the time period we looked at was the preparation day. But Mark has more to say. That is the day before the Sabbath. So if you look to the right, you can see that the next day was a Sabbath day. And let's go to Luke. And that day was the preparation day. Third witness to the light period we just discussed is the preparation day. Luke's not finished either. And the Sabbath was about to begin. Second witness to that next day is the Sabbath day. John, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation day, fourth witness out of four possible witnesses, all concurred that the preparation day is what we have just been discussing. Second part of that passage in John, the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Think back to the previous presentations when we discussed two of those in Joshua as it related to the commandment in Deuteronomy. He also tells us what kind of Sabbath day this is. For that Sabbath day was a high day. So now we have three witnesses that the next day was a Sabbath, and John says it was a high Sabbath. All right, so what does that tell us? That day was the 15th. What does it make the previous day? The 14th. All right, let's continue. Move backwards in time. We've got the pieces so you can see where we are in the preparation day. Let's go all the way back to the beginning of the 14th, which would be when evening had come. We read that. When evening had come, betrayer was announced as Judas. Peter says, "I'll never be offended." Yeshua counters that. They went to Gethsemane. Judas and the guards arrive. Yeshua is taken to the high priest. Examination of the lamb commences. Peter denies three times. And where we initially started this, when morning had come. So what does that make the dark period? The night portion of the preparation day. So at this point in time, all 543 verses that are discussed in the four Gospels talking about this time period are in unanimous agreement. Here we go. Every gospel agrees when the preparation day was and when the Sabbath was. There are no conflicts with any gospels in the calendar so far. Now, let's deal with conflicts. Mark 15:42b, 15th was the Sabbath. That's what he said. It agreed with all the other gospels. That means the previous part is the light portion of the 14th. Yeshua examined, led to Golgotha, died around 3, Joseph, etc. We just covered that. So, the night portion, which we also just covered, Judas at the garden, capture of Yeshua, Peter's denial, and they end it with when morning had come. That's how they end that discussion. So, 14:17 of Mark begins the 14th. Which is the text we just read, and that we just aligned with all the other Gospels. And that text says, in the evening, he comes with the 12. All right, so let's continue. Since verse 17 is the beginning of the 14th, whatever took place on what day? The 13th. The stuff that takes place on the day before the 14th is what day? The 13th. So let's take a look at that text, 14:12-16. Now the first day, the unleavened, When the Passover is sacrificed, this is the 13th, his disciples said unto him, Well, where do you want me to go to prepare the sacrifice of the Passover? So we now have a conflict. The lamb is slain on the 13th. We know that from where? Exodus? No. The lamb is slain on the 14th. But here, the lamb is slain on the 13th. That's what the KJV says. How well we know the plain reading of the English text. The rest of 14, 12 through 16, send two disciples, go into the city, secure a room, make ready the Passover. And then 17, which is what we covered, when evening had come, Yeshua arrived with the 12. So, here we are. This is just rerun. The meal, Peter, the garden, Yeshua captured, examined. The first day of unleavened bread, the 13th. No one's ever heard of that before. As the English stands, that's impossible. I mean, you could unleaven your house on the 13th and nobody would say anything to you. But that's not the first day of unleavened bread. B, first day of unleavened bread, when they kill the Passover on the 13th. We know that's not what the text says. The text says the lamb is saved up to the 14th, and then it's killed on the 14th between the evenings, between the Erev. So that's even more impossible that the lamb is slain on the 13th. So what's the solution? Let's go to the Greek. Here's the word, P-R-O-T-E, prote. And prote, day of the unleavening, here's the entire Greek, so you can see it. Freiberg is my man, okay? He translates this word as first, but he says it can also be translated as before. That's interesting. And before the day of the unleavening, this is also agreed to by UBS and Loanida and others I'm going to show you as the slides go on. And Matthew 26:17 has the same problem. Anchor Bible Commentary by Albright and Mann. It is possible to translate the Greek by this phrase with reference to the first day of unleavened bread. The disciples were asking Yeshua for guidance as to the procedures to be followed for the next day. If you translate that word as before, we don't have to have a problem with the 543 verses that just passed after that. Word biblical commentary. Some have attempted to understand on the first as a misunderstanding of the underlying Aramaic, which would have been before. See, I didn't make this up. In the end, an internal conflict resolved by the weight of evidence resulting in a unanimous agreement on the time period means, in English, how many times have you heard me say, some texts in the scriptures are easier to understand and there are others that are not so easy. So the approach that I took to put this together was to find out, do the Gospels really agree about anything? And of course, to my surprise, they agreed on everything until I got to Mark 14:12. And so I'm like, well, this is impossible, so what are we going to do? And how many times have you heard Phil? If the scripture absolutely contradicts itself and that's impossible, then there's something I'm missing. And in this particular case, it's a single translation of a Greek word that shows up in two Gospels. When that's resolved, every single thing lines up without question. Okay, moving on to Yom Kippur. When is Yom Kippur? Well, what does the text say? Seventh month, 10th day of the month? 10th day of the seventh month? 10th day of the seventh month. Sounds like the 10th day of the seventh month. Back to the visual aids. Dark portion of the ninth day, light portion of the ninth day, dark portion of the 10th day, light portion of the 10th day, Yom Kippur. The text says, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening unto evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. I believe that's KJV. I changed evening to Erev in Hebrew and highlighted with yellow in the three places that it shows up. So what we end up with in the ninth day of the month at Erev, from Erev to Erev. So now we have to find out what Erev means in this text. Does Erev mean the beginning of the ninth day? Or does Erev mean the beginning of the tenth day? Which day is Yom Kippur? It's the tenth day. So if you're going to start at the ninth day at Erev, that's going to be at the end of the ninth day, at the beginning of the tenth day. All right. Now let's look at it in an even more interesting way. In the ninth day of the month, at the end of that day, is my suggested translation of this text. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month, beginning in the ninth day of the month, at the end of that day. I'm submitted that for a translation consideration. Okay? Now, what about Passover? In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at Erev, you will eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at Erev. Huh? Sounding a little bit similar here. I've highlighted 14th day of the month at Erev, because that's what we're talking about. The other was the 9th day of the month at Erev. Let's look at it in the Hebrew. The Hebrew is 9, moon, Erev, and translated in the 9th day of the month at Erev, or evening. Exodus is 4:10. Yom. It's interesting that there is no yom in the Leviticus passage, but most translators put day in instead of saying the ninth of the month at Erev. They put the ninth day. I'm not going to yell about that. But I'm telling you, yom is not in the passage. On the 14th day, so that's the 4:10 yom, moon, Erev. Same thing. Now, my question is, how does the Hebrew match up? Well, obviously, we know that 9 and 4 are not going to match up, and Yom is missing, and 10. But when you put them together, you'll notice that they are exactly the same in Hebrew, and it's not just the Hebrew letters that are the same, but the vowel pointing is exactly the same for these two phrases. So whatever one means, the other means. So if Yom Kippur is on the 10th day of the month, which is starting at the ninth day at Erev, then unleavened bread is eaten at the 14th day at Erev, which is the end of the 14th, just like you start Yom Kippur at the end of the ninth. So in this particular case, the Hebrew agrees 100%, which aligns with everything we just said coming out of the Gospels that agree 100%. All right, now let's review the things that we've covered over these three parts. We learned that the lamb can only be sacrificed in the afternoon of the 14th of the first or second month, and the disciples knew this. I submit the disciples knew this, because if you remember when we looked at this text in the previous discussion, it wasn't the first and the other, it was the first and the second. And we broke down every passage in Torah where it talked about those two sacrifices. And we looked at the Hebrew to make sure they were all identical, and they were. And that's why we've concluded this from that presentation. Going back to the Gospels, every Gospel agrees when the preparation day was. You saw that. We got all four witnesses. And when the Sabbath was, which is the 15th. There are no conflicts at all if we translate P-R-O-T-E as before, because we know that if we don't, the text is impossibly, irreconcilable would be the big word. All right, so here's the expanded harmony. Before the day of unleavening, when they killed the Passovers, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? It works for me. All right, conclusions. As best as I can tell, there were no calendar conflicts between the priests and the Pharisees concerning the 14th sacrifice in the afternoon that year. No conflicts, because everybody is on the same page. They're all listed in one place or another in the 543 verses that are discussing that single time period. They're all mentioned at some point, and they were all doing it at the same time. Thought that was interesting. All right, so that is the end of this presentation and this series. I will now take questions.